In Isaiah 61, it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Jesus spoke this prophecy in the synagogue, and after he read it, he said, "Today, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing." He was basically proclaiming that he was the sent one, the anointed one, the Messiah who was sent to preach good tidings and heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. Listen in as we unpack this powerful passage. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 20th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Exodus 34, 10-26. The Lord replied, "Listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. But listen carefully to everything I command you today. Then I will go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be very careful never to make a treaty with the people who live in the land where you are going. If you do, you will follow their evil ways and be trapped. Instead, you must break down their pagan altars, smash their sacred pillars, and cut down their Asherah poles. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is Jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. You must not make a treaty of any kind with the people living in the land. They lust after their gods, offering sacrifices to them. They will invite you to join them in their sacrificial meals, and you will go with them. Then you will accept their daughters who sacrifice to other gods as wives for your sons, and they will seduce your sons to commit adultery against me by worshiping other gods. You must not make any gods of molten metal for yourselves. You must celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days the bread you eat must be made without yeast, just as I commanded you. Celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in early spring in the month of Aviv, for that is the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. The firstborn of every animal belongs to me, including the firstborn males from your herds of cattle and your flocks of sheep and goats. A firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. No one may appear before me without an offering. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But on the seventh day, you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. You must celebrate the festival of harvest with the first crop of the wheat harvest, and celebrate the festival of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season. 3 times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the sovereign, the Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out the other nations ahead of you and expand your territory, so no one will covet and conquer your land while you appear before the Lord your God 3 times each year. You must not offer the blood of my sacrificial offerings together with any baked goods containing yeast. And none of the meat of the Passover sacrifice may be kept over until the next morning. As you harvest your crops, Bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Luke 4:1-30. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time and was very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people need more than bread for their life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil told him, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he orders his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you in their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God." Then the devil had finished tempting Jesus, and he left him until the next opportunity came. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Soon he became well known throughout the surrounding country. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll containing the messages of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll to the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue stared at him intently. Then he said, "This scripture has come true today before your very eyes." All who were there spoke well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that fell from his lips. "How can this be?" they asked. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Then he said, "Probably you will quote me that proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself,' meaning, why don't you do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum? But the truth is, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly there were many widows in Israel who needed help in Elijah's time, when there was no rain for 3.5 years and hunger stalked the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a widow of Zarephath, a foreigner in the land of Sidon. Or think of the prophet Elisha, who healed Naaman, a Syrian, rather than the many lepers in Israel who needed help." When they heard this, the people in the synagogues were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and took him to the edge of the hill on which the city was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he slipped away through the crowd and left them. Psalm 63:1-11. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better to me than life itself. How I praise you! I will honor you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest of foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. I think how much you have helped me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your protecting wings. I follow close behind you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Proverbs 11:20-21. The Lord hates people with twisted hearts, but he delights in those who have integrity. You can be sure that evil people will be punished, but the children of the godly will go free. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Luke chapter 4. And I want to zoom in on the part in this chapter where Jesus goes to a synagogue and he stands up to read the scriptures. Now, the practice is that every week there is a Torah portion that the Jews read. The Torah includes one of the first five books in the Bible, and then the Haftorah portion is a reading from one of the prophecies, the Old Testament prophetic writers. And so the reading for that particular day was from Isaiah chapter 61, and he reads this portion of scripture from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning in verse 1. He read this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." That's chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And then he rolls up the scroll and hands it back to the attendant, and he said, "This day, this scripture has come true today before your very eyes." So basically, it's a prophecy about a Messiah who would come, and that this Messiah would be anointed to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound. He's basically saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one who is going to fulfill this prophecy and am fulfilling it today. There's also speculation that on the day that he proclaimed this in the synagogue, it was a Jubilee year. So every 7 years, the seventh year was a Sabbath year of rest, and the Jewish people were to let their land rest and not grow any grain on it. And every 50 years was a Jubilee year, and any lands that they had sold, their ancestral lands would go back to them. And so all debts were canceled, slaves were set free, and ancestral lands that have been sold would go back to the original owner. And so that the speculation is that he proclaimed this on a Jubilee year. So it was a double fulfillment. Basically, Jesus is proclaiming that he is the Messiah and that he's going to comfort those who mourn in Zion, that he's going to give them beauty for ashes. He's going to give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now keep in mind, in ancient Jewish history, in 586 BC, the Babylonians came in and they invaded Israel. They invaded Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar, who led the Babylonian army, broke through the walls of Jerusalem and took Jerusalem captive. They set the temple on fire and it burned to the ground. And then for 70 years, the Jewish people were in exile in Babylon. That's the southern kingdom, or Judah. The northern kingdom was taken off into exile by Assyria a couple of hundred years sooner than that, and they never returned. So while the Jews were in exile in Babylon, their cities became desolate and there were ruins. And it goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, coming back into Jewish history, even though the Jews were allowed to return after 70 years of exile in Babylon, later in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus came in and attacked Jerusalem and again destroyed the second temple, burned it to the ground. And all the Jews were expelled out of Jerusalem and were not allowed to return on pain of death. And they took the name Jerusalem and renamed the city and called it Palestina. They wanted to wipe out all identity, the ancient identity of Jerusalem, which is connected to the Jewish people, by renaming it to Palestina. And so then for centuries, the Jews wandered. They were in exile and they were in the diaspora and they lived in Europe and they came to America and they came throughout all parts of Asia. And then in May of 1948, the ancient homeland of the Jewish people, Israel, was reborn out of the ashes of the Holocaust. And so this verse, verse 4 from Isaiah 61, has very special significance and meaning, and it has been fulfilled. Because as the Jewish people returned to the land of Israel, they did rebuild the old ruins, and they raised up the former desolations, and they repaired the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And it goes on to say in Isaiah 61, verse 5, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Now, this verse has been fulfilled prophetically in the last 20 years. There is a wonderful ministry in the heartland of Israel, and this ministry is called Hayovel, and it is in the heartland of Israel. And they have a compound where volunteers from all over the nations come and they stay at Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, and they go there to harvest the grapes, to be a blessing to the farmers of Israel. And these grapes become world-class wine. The best wine you can ever have comes from the Mount of Blessing, Mount Gerizim, and these are foreigners coming from all over the nations to be a blessing to the local Israeli farmers by helping them with harvesting the grapes. And so Isaiah 61, verse 4, is truly being fulfilled in our lifetime. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. It goes on to say, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So we can be so thankful and grateful that Jesus did come, and he is our Messiah. He is the one who was appointed by God the Father to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind would see, and the downtrodden would be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. We thank you, Lord, that you have fulfilled this prophecy in your first coming, and that you continue to fulfill it every day. We thank you, Jesus, that there is a day coming when you shall return a second time, and you will deal with all of Israel's enemies, with those who hate the God of Israel, who hate the land of Israel, and who hate the people of Israel. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.